Hi, Foxies. The episode you're trying to listen to is right around the corner, but first, we need your help. You may have noticed that there are no ads during The Fox and the Foxhound. We prefer this, being ad haters ourselves, but we need your help to keep it that way. If you love this show, please consider signing up as a patron at patreon.com/thefoxandthefoxhound. We have Patreon tiers starting at just $1 a month. And not only will you get fun extra content and an unedited cut of every episode 2 days early, you'll be directly responsible for keeping the show going in all of its ad-free glory. Thanks to all of our existing patrons, past patrons, and hopefully future patrons. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to The Fox and the Foxhound.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Kevin.
We are a married couple and parents to a very magical toddler. We started our journey around 5 years ago as I revisited the series I've loved for years, and Kevin started his journey into the Potterverse for the first time.
This season, we will be exploring the wizarding world through fan fiction, examining the essence of evil villains with our Dark Dive series, and putting a musical spin on each episode with our hits from the Golden Egg. We also promise to bring you the lighter side of things with our weekly Patronus moments and wildly off-topic tangents and rants.
We love this series and the people who love it with us. So later in the episode, we will let you know how to reach us directly and stay in touch with the community of loyal Foxies who drive the content of our show. Welcome.
Let's go.
I don't know. I've been away. I don't believe in the real thing.
What is that?
That's the band, The War on Drugs.
Oh, yeah. You do love them. The guy sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Yes.
And your impression just now sounded like Bob Dylan.
In 1971, Richard Nixon declared the war on drugs.
Right. Very unsuccessful.
Very unsuccessful.
Yes.
Why are we talking about 1971?
Why are we talking about 1971?
Because we're going back to reading our fan fiction, all them dudes.
All the young dudes.
All those young guys.
Is this going to be your new thing? You're just like misnaming this fan fiction every time we read it.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Welcome back to Fox or the Fox Sound.
Fox and the Jesus Christ. Yes, welcome back to our show. We're going to get all up in all the young dudes.
Oh, God. We're not going to do that. We're covering chapter 11, bankruptcy, through chapter 15.
Right. And we're covering chapter 11 through the end of chapter 15, as in like including chapter 15.
They get it.
I always think that it's going to be confusing.
They pause the podcast, Google for an hour and a half. I don't understand what this means mathematically. There can always be another zero to add towards infinity.
11 through and including 15.
Including but not limited to 11 through 15.
Just shut it. First, top of the show announcement. Actually, announcements. Our topic for next week is the Dark Dive. Our next Dark Dive. Anyone, do you want to take a guess on like what bad person we might be dark diving?
Bellatrix Lestrange.
No, I thought about doing Bellatrix, but I think we're going to save her. The Dark Dive on Dolores Umbridge.
Ooh, Umbridge.
Yeah, we're gonna go to that, like, to Pottermore, or the former Pottermore, and like read that whole biography that one of our listeners told us exists, and let's learn some background about Dolores Umbridge, just like we did with Tommy Riddle. Let's see if we can find a sympathetic angle. I am not hopeful about this.
Let's talk a little bit about authority.
Yes.
To teenagers, what that looks like.
Abuse of power. Hmm. It, just in general.
Kitty cats.
She really does love kitty cats also. And I can talk about kitty cats.
She's
all
like
day
the
long.
Un-Barbie. She's like evil Barbie.
She's like evil Barbie. Not like weird Barbie. Weird Barbie's great.
Yeah.
But she is like evil Barbie. My other announcement, if you have been considering on the fence about joining Patreon, we just, I hope, I think, fingers crossed, improved upon what is probably our most popular Patreon perk, which is an early release of our weekly episodes. Our patrons are now going to be getting the episodes a couple days earlier than they were getting them. So instead of getting a new unedited cut of each episode 2 days before it releases publicly, they're now going to get it 4 to 5 days, depending on the night of the week that we record, yes, early.
And this is because we have been keeping the same podcast schedule for 5 years.
Yes.
Neglecting how much our lives would change,
yeah,
when we had a toddler.
Yeah.
And so recording the podcast late at night on a Sunday before a school day the next day, mm-hmm, is not cutting it. We want, yeah, old school pre-kid energy.
Yeah.
Big time excitement, mm-hmm, big time energy, none of this late night crap.
And believe it or not, we feel fresher to record on a night after we have both worked all day than we do at the end of a day that we have spent wrangling a two-year-old.
Facts.
Like,
as the young kids say, facts.
You know, because I think, like, what I posted to our patrons when I announced this to them is I was like, as Paris has become, like, she's not a potato anymore. You know, she's not a baby. She's running around. Like, we have, like, no time to prep for the episode during the day anymore. We used to, up until, honestly, pretty recently. You know, she was a little baby. She napped a lot. And we, you know, now it's just...
She's a roommate.
Now she's a roommate and a very demanding one, yes, quite frankly. So exciting, right? So our existing patrons already know this because I posted this to them yesterday. But if anyone was thinking about joining Patreon and you were excited about the early episode release, but, you know, 2 days early was not exciting enough for you to join, maybe 4 days early will be exciting enough for you to join. Yay! Okay.
Some of you will start getting the podcast before we even record it.
Via telekinesis.
It'll just be an empty file that plays for about as long as we would record.
So let's talk about All the Young Dudes, chapters 11 through and including chapter 15. Right. Do you want to talk like basic plot and then we'll expand on things as they come up? Is that how you want to do it?
Yeah, so this takes place around Christmas, 1971, mm-hmm, and the boys are doing boy stuff, you know.
So much boy stuff.
Talking about girls, mm-hmm, farting, being loud, you know, drawing horses. What? And what we remember is that the crew is plotting some sort of revenge on, I almost said Phineas Fennel. And then I was like, no, I'm thinking of Phineas Fogg. No, I'm thinking of Nicholas Flamel.
Wow. Yeah, they're not plotting revenge on Nicholas Flamel, but they are plotting revenge on Severus Snape. Yes, because where we left off, he had hexed them or whatever and caused like spontaneous hair growth. Oh, that's right. He like tainted the candy or whatever.
Yeah.
And made them all start growing hair. So we have these like plans for Christmas. And of course, like, the other boys, the other three of the Marauders, they're all going home, you know, and poor Remus is just kind of left. Like, he's not going to go back to fucking
St. Edmund's
thing. I almost called it St. Oswald's. That was from Cursed Child. Okay.
Yeah, so he's going to be the only person in his house that even stays behind.
Of that year, yeah.
Right. Before we get to that, the first thing that we encounter that I think is... very special about this fanfic is this weird dynamic between Sirius and Bellatrix.
Oh my God.
Where she's like, get over here now.
Uh-huh.
And he's afraid of her. She pulls her wand on him. It's the first time that Remus has ever seen anyone like actually point a gun at somebody.
Right.
And he's scared.
Yes.
And she's like, he already has this like blood traitor, mm-hmm, betray the family, black sheep of the black family type of thing going on.
Yeah.
And Bellatrix just bullies the crap out of him, which is really a very unique spin on Sirius Black for us. Like him being the outcast and the blood traitor, that's not unusual.
Right.
But incorporating this dynamic where his cousin is really super like bossy to him, mm-hmm, a couple years older than him. I kind of like it.
I love it. I think it totally tracks. And I think it's also like so easy to think about Sirius Black's history as being like one day he decided to denounce his family and then that's it. Clean break, you know, whatever. But it's way more logical that it was sort of a prolonged thing where like the family was still kind of trying to bully him into being a true black, right? But we also have these kind of hints with this record collection that he gets from Andromeda, who, as we know, is Tonks's mother, who is the other, the fellow blood traitor of the Black family.
Right.
Because she married a fucking half-blood.
And we also see that Hogwarts is not a completely safe place for Sirius. He's not completely away from him. The way Harry is free from the Dursleys when he goes to Hogwarts.
Yes.
Sirius doesn't enjoy that same luxury.
It's a really good point. It's, I mean, again, I feel like it's just reinforcing the idea that Sirius Black is truly one of the most tragic characters in the series.
And I always wanted more Sirius Black backstory because you get so much about him. Wanted Sirius Black, the most evil wizard. Get him, get him. Everybody's after Sirius Black. And then you get this, holy crap, he didn't do the thing that he got blamed for. That was Peter Pan. Pettigrew, he spent all this time in prison. He's actually a good guy.
Yeah.
But we don't get all the time before that. And that's what this is filling in, which it's is really so exciting.
So exciting. Yes. Let's take a quick break from the episode to talk about ways you can support the show, how to contact us, and let us give a couple of big thank yous. Funding for this show comes entirely from our patrons on Patreon. These wonderful people pay for our hosting fees, social media and promotional subscriptions, equipment upgrades and maintenance, and so much more. If you love this show, becoming a patron is the most direct way to support us. Find out more at patreon.com/thefoxandthefoxhound. We also understand that money is tight. So if you're looking for a free way to support us, rating and reviewing The Fox and the Foxhound on Apple Podcasts is such a huge help. Not only does it give us the warm and fuzzies, it also promotes the show within Apple Podcasts and helps us reach new potential Foxies. Even if you listen elsewhere, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to reach us, the best way is by joining our Discord server, the FFH Mischief Center. There is a link to join on the homepage of our website, thefoxandthefoxhound.com. While you're there, consider sending us a message or a voicemail. Both are easy to find on the site. Or email us at thefoxandthefoxhound@gmail.com. Following us on social media ensures you won't miss any announcements about future meetups, episode delays, and more. We're on Twitter at foxandfoxhound, no thes, and on Instagram and TikTok at thefoxandthefoxhound. You can also find our page on Facebook at facebook.com/thefoxandthefoxhound. Finally, we'd like to thank a few very special people. Hannah Gibb, who manages our Discord server and is also a Marauder-level patron. Josh Bailey, our co-producer and manager of Mischief, who is also a Marauder-level patron. Judson Hurd, who composed the original music for our show. And all of our Patreon members. We wouldn't be able to do any of this without all of you. Okay, let's get back to the episode. I loved this allusion to the beginnings of the Marauders map with Remus kind of like wandering the school grounds a little bit, like, you know, kind of aimless. His friends aren't around. He's a little bored. He's the only one who has kept his school map. And there's he's like making notes on it. And he's kind of there's this idea that he is like, there's so much missed potential in this map, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see the evolution of how the Marauders map comes to be. It's going to be so exciting.
When you were a kid, did you ever go to your school at night for a function?
Yes. Oh God, it was always so creepy.
Isn't it so disturbing to like look at this almost like a set that you perform on every day and you see it outside of school hours and it seems stark and strange and surreal.
Yeah.
It's almost the same feeling as when you go out of town and then you come back to your house and you walk in your house and you're just like,
yeah, it feels kind of weird.
Like the set has just been waiting for the actors to return.
It's also kind of the same feeling as when you would like run into your teachers outside of school.
So weird.
Oh, it's it's a
I always weird vibe. Think that I'm going to run into my therapist like somewhere in public.
Right. Yeah.
Which that wouldn't be that bad. I'd just be like, hey, and I think she'd be like, oh, hey, how are you? Good, good. Da, 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 da. Like tell a little joke. But then if you're with somebody, you have to be like, this is my friend, Julie, you know?
I know. Yeah. I mean, you remember how often that used to happen to me. You just started like walking away.
I would just keep walking.
Yeah. You would just start walking away.
I still do that with anybody that says, hey, to you, even if they're one of our mutual friends. Hey, Amanda and Kevin. I'll just keep walking. Oh, hey.
No, you don't.
And then you go, he's mad at you.
No, I don't. So Sirius does come back to Hogwarts before like the end of Christmas break. He just kind of shows back up and we come to find out there's been a big blow up at the Black household. And he has basically just said a big fuck you to his, you know, maniac family and has gone back to Hogwarts. And we have this great, I say scene, I guess is the right term, with them at Remus and Sirius, that is at the breakfast table. Yeah, because I guess he shows up early in the morning at the breakfast table with McGonagall, like, what are you doing here? I'm going to have to write your mom. And then Sirius gets this howler. The howler goes off. And then there's this great quote where it says, Sirius ate his breakfast in silence. Years later, Remus would always remember thinking in that moment that Sirius Black must be the bravest boy in the world.
Yeah.
I just thought that was such a beautiful quote.
Because while the howler is playing, mm-hmm. he's just looking at McGonagall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, good enough for you?
Yeah. It's very like, I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. You know, there's a lot of pain. Surely he's got to be feeling something about this, but he maintains this like kind of cocky, you know, bravado. And I guess it's kind of like, what's the line between bravery and bravado? You know, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the scene in Forget Paris where Billy Crystal is talking to Deborah Winger mm-hmm. about, you know, they've lost his dad's body or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need you to identify him. And he's like, yeah, I'm all set.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we can't really like identify. He was like, how many bodies have you lost? It's right. The dead guy yeah. in a suit in the wooden box or whatever. Right. And she keeps persisting. And he was like, if I have to look at him, then flip him over on his stomach because I'm only used to seeing him walk away.
Oh.
And she says, right. I understand.
Yikes.
It's one of those. Like, yeah. Do you get the position that I'm in, lady?
Yeah.
And McGonagall, I feel like, has so much compassion for the students. I love McGonagall. I'm a McGonagall stan.
Oh, same. And I really love that we got to see a little bit more of McGonagall in this section of chapters, because I maintain what I said in our first All the Young Dudes episode, which is the canon characters that we know in adulthood from the original canon are so consistent in this fan fiction yeah. that it's just seamless. Like nothing McGonagall says seems out of character for her. It's all just.
And spotless. Everyone knows McGonagall as being conspiratorial. Mm-hmm. Like I always talk about my grandma. It's like, I have to give a forward facing thing for my colleagues, mm-hmm. but also you guys know I've got your back.
Yes, very much so. We'll definitely have to talk a lot about McGonagall when we do our dark dive on Dolores Umbridge, because those two have several run-ins. So let's talk about this record collection and this experience that the boys, this bonding experience between Remus and Sirius that happens on Christmas morning. So first of all, Christmas morning, I felt like there's so many parallels between Remus's first Christmas at Hogwarts and Harry's first Christmas at yeah. Hogwarts. Didn't you find that yeah. just kind of on the nose?
Very sweet.
Very sweet. But Sirius gets another record delivered from Andromeda, and it's a T-Rex record, right? So, okay, here's the thing about T-Rex. This band is a mental blind spot for me. I have been told about them and encountered them many times in my life, and I just cannot remember who this band is and have no concept of who this band is.
I only know who T-Rex is because Alex is a huge T-Rex fan.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so she's talked about him for the, I don't know, 10 plus years that I've known her now.
Yeah.
And I've listened to T-Rex at John's house, but were they ever on my radar growing up? No.
Okay. I feel like this is a band that is more famous than I have any concept of, because my yeah. brain can't hang on to them. You know how like some people's faces for the life of you, you cannot remember what they look like?
Yeah.
That's how T-Rex is as a band for me.
Right.
So I have no idea what they sound like. I need to look up some of these songs from this fan fiction, but I love this shared experience between the two of them. They're both hearing this record for the first time and they just listen to it over and over and over again. It just was so nostalgic to me because I remember doing this with like TLC. What was the album that was, it had waterfalls on it. It had no, or did it have no scrubs on it? Maybe not. Had waterfalls on it. Oh, Crazy Sexy Cool.
I was just about to yes. say Crazy Sexy Cool. Great album.
Yes. My friend Lindsay up the street and I would just listen to that album on repeat. I mean, for weeks we listened to nothing else. And there's nothing like that experience when you're around that age.
This was super nostalgic for me because my brother and I grew up always listening to music together. It was a huge foundation of our relationship and still is.
Yeah.
Is music. That's what we mostly talk about. That's what we mostly communicate about. And we always, for Christmas, asked for a new tape or a new CD. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of collaborated on, like, what are you going to ask for Christmas? I'm going to ask for the new REM album.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask for this new album. So there were always things that, like, because MTV was a huge thing when I was growing up, there were always like, man, I want to get that album because I like that one song. And then there were other obscure things that you decided to like roll the dice on.
Yeah.
Like my first Fugazi album, I was at a skate park called the Ramp House in Carolina Beach. And there were some older kids skating a big half pipe and they were listening to something. And I thought it was so unique and so cool. And I climbed up the little ladder to the top of the ramp. And I said, hey, do you know what that is? Like, what are you listening to? And he was like, here. And like the older guy, probably a teenager, he handed me the tape case. And I saw that it was this Fugazi album. So that's what I asked for. And my mom, she didn't know what the shit was. Like, right. As long as it didn't seem like it was vulgar or something, then she would typically get us. And so, like, that's how I got that tape. So Christmas morning, the first thing that we did was take turns putting in our new tape or new CD and listening to it while we played with stuff.
Yes.
And we typically liked the same stuff.
Yeah.
And still do. And so it was not, it's almost like the present was for both of us, even though it was ours.
That's sweet.
I can still remember my first boombox, my first CD player boombox that I got. I got Seal's first album, which is just self-titled, still one of my favorite albums of all time. And I got the EMF album, Schubert Dip.
Okay.
That has the song, Yo, Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great song.
And that was the first CD I ever played in my boombox. But I love that. And so this just stirred up so much for me. Also, my brother is a huge Beatles fan. And I was like, is me and my brother growing up.
I absolutely love it. I thought it was really lovely. There's really a lot of great Sirius and Remus stuff here. This like blossoming bond between the two of them is so, so sweet. So let's talk about the reading spell. So Sirius invents this spell and he basically gives the gift of literacy to Remus. Like it's a game changer for him.
Which means he was just thinking about his buddy.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. And it's definitely implied that this was a lot of work and very advanced, you know, for what level they're at, you know, I thought it was so beautiful.
And to me, moments of like boys being vulnerably kind to each other is so heartwarming.
Yes.
My best friend, Eric, grew up, the way we became friends was we would see Eric and this guy, Daniel, riding bikes and skateboarding all the time. And we were like kind of curious about them. Like, we just moved into the neighborhood. They look to be our age, you know, but we didn't really know what to say to them or anything. And one day I feel like they just stopped on bikes or something and we were talking and Eric asked me if I skateboarded and I said, yeah, I skateboard. So we went down to this little parking lot and we're skateboarding and I left my beanie down there. And I want to say I might've left a jacket too, but I know I definitely left my beanie down there. And that night, after we had like eaten dinner and it was getting late and I was about to go to bed, there was like a knock on the door and it was Eric he had stayed down there and saw that I left my beanie.
Aww.
And so he like walked over and rang the doorbell and was like, hi, my name is Eric. Like your son Kevin left his beanie or whatever. And it's funny because it was almost one of those, like the non-romantic friend version of when Kevin Arnold sees Winnie Cooper and it plays that. I was like, oh my God, I think I made a friend.
Yes. And for our non-American listeners, can you please explain what a beanie is?
A beanie is referred to as a winter hat.
A skull cap,
a scully. In the South, we call them toboggans. Mm-hmm. Up North, a toboggan is a sled.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
So, yeah, I loved the reading spell. And, of course, now that Remus can read, he's really making a lot of progress with his classes. But the other thing that happens over this Christmas break is that Sirius and Remus start plotting this next prank for Snape. And they say, you know, they come up with this idea that we're going to do this like storm that only floats over Snape and drenches him.
I think the problem is that it was just supposed to be like a little rain cloud.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't stop raining on you. But once they did it, they were like, ew, this thing is like thundering and lightning. Like, he could get really hurt by this thing.
Well, I don't even think it was the spell. I think it was, this is probably where I felt like this chunk of chapters took a really interesting turn, was this rage that Remus was feeling while he cast it.
And it changed the effectiveness of the spell.
And kind of almost like a perverse pleasure that he was getting from hurting this guy. Because remember, we start off chapter 11 with like, all the boys are kind of like, that asshole, you know, covered us in hair. But Remus has a totally different relationship to sprouting fur.
Yeah.
And it scared him. And as we all know, one of the most logical jumps from fear is the next leap is to anger. So he's mad and he like desperately wants revenge, and he kind of takes it too far without even really, he gets totally lost in all of it. It's like Ralphie beating up, you know, Scut Farkas in A Christmas Story.
And it also shows you the thin line, the thin veil between dark magic and what we know is just sort of regular magic.
Yeah.
Remember when Bellatrix says to Harry, I think they're in the ministry, and she says, you have to mean it, Potter.
I thought of that too. Yes.
It was like, but see what happens when you mean it, when you really put your emotion into it.
That exact quote was definitely floating through my head when I was reading this chapter too. Like, she's talking about the unforgivables, but like, it really does kind of, this is implying that what you're feeling affects all of your magic, not just your ability to cast unforgivables on other people.
Super cool.
Really interesting. And after this happens, Remus starts kind of distancing himself from the other marauders, right? He starts getting kind of in his head about, am I like corrupted as a person because of this condition that I have? Because he's certainly never read anything about it. He couldn't read until very recently, right? Yeah. And he didn't grow up in a magical household where he could have learned about this condition, you know? So he starts like doing his own reading, and he starts kind of looking into things, and what he's reading is not encouraging. You know, it's a lot of like, these are savages, these are beasts, these are like, it's all very violent language used to describe werewolves. And he's like, well, is this why what happened with Snape happened? And then he talks to Madame Pomfrey, which I think is a really sweet conversation, where, she, you know, he describes this to her and she's like, well, you know, emotions are also normal.
And yeah. I love the characterization of Pomfrey in this series. Oh my God.
She's so kind, and she's so like, I think she's just lovely. And Snape does have a chance to retaliate, and it's brutal, this retaliation that they do to Remus, right? It's Mulciber and Snape. They like glue his feet to the floor. They essentially immobilize him, and then they pelt him with gravel. Like, it's
this is awful. Serious like violent behavior between young kids.
Yeah,
this was my middle school.
It's really intense. And I know I said this the first time, our first All the Young Dudes episode, where I said I think it's really interesting the crafting of this rivalry between the Marauders and Snape. It's like, it doesn't really go from 0 to 100, but you can see how quickly it is escalating. They're still in their first year. They still have another 6 years of school together. Like, it's going to, you know, when we see this, like, Snape's worst memory thing, it's kind of like, we see that totally out of context. Now we're getting some of the context, and it's like, damn.
And I remember these kids that were pitted as enemies for years in middle school and high school. And it was like, eventually one of them's going to kill the other one, or they're going to become best friends.
Yeah.
Which also used to happen.
Well, sure. And so it's ultimately Lily who puts a stop, you know, to all of it. But this is what I find interesting, and I kind of can't wait to see how this author does this, is like, what changes between now and fifth year, which is Snape's worst memory, to where Remus is kind of seemingly essentially the target for Snape for the most part. Snape might hate James the most, but he targets Remus for sure.
Yeah.
And then this Remus just kind of staying under the tree, just not really interfering. Like, how did they become kind of satellites more than anything else? Like, how did James and Sirius start shifting to be the target for Snape?
Isn't it unique how the human capacity for empathy can be weaponized?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's like Westworld.
Mm.
Westworld is, you've got this world of robots and it's themed to outer space or cowboy town or whatever, but you can do whatever you want. You can rape women. You can kill the people. They're just robots. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what you do. So you can kind of play out these fantasies.
Yeah.
Well, in order to make the robots super, super realistic, what the designer had to do was incorporate the tiniest little bit of human empathy in them.
Yeah.
And that tiniest little bit of human empathy would make them more fluid and unlike an animatronic you would see at Disney World.
Yeah.
But that tiny little piece that he put in them also means that they become more and more human. It's like AI. It's
yeah.
The fears of AI.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we can read someone's body language, reactions, facial expressions, and emotional expressions, and know, oh, that's the thing they're most insecure about.
Right.
It can be weaponized. And I think that's often what kids do. And totally. They might even hold on to it because they feel empathy or pity for the person that has the thing that makes them self-conscious.
Yeah.
And when it comes mean time, then that ace gets pulled out of the back pocket and it gets played.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you have to mature out of as a human being.
Totally.
But kids are really, really apt and easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, Snape, you have greasy hair. You're poor. This was like my dad was made right. fun of for having greasy hair and being poor. Okay, Remus, I know what you really are. These things are starting to build.
Yeah.
And this is why we've wanted a Marauders fictional story this whole time.
I mean, exactly. It's a really rich ground to harvest as a story, you know? So, I mean, that's essentially the plot of these five chapters. I just find myself so excited to see, like, excited and also nervous for how emotional it's going to be. Like the other boys figuring out Remus's secret, you know, he's clearly kind of where we left off. He's at a point of kind of distancing himself from them. How do they bring him back into the fold? Like, this is what I love about kind of prologue style stories, is that you know where things end up. And so you're like, oh, I can't wait to see how they get there.
And it's a testament to how much this author understands about the series and the tone of the series.
It's really beautifully done. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
I wish that it was in a paper book form.
I'd
be finished with it by now.
I know.
Reading something on my phone, but you can't publish it because it's not your intellectual property. That's why it's fanfic, Kev.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yes, I know that it is not your preferred like delivery method, but man, I'm absolutely loving
it. Me too.
Loving
I'm
this.
Digging it.
It's time for Hits from the Golden Egg.
Spin those records and dance around. This is Hits from the Golden Egg.
Just your dance face. Around.
You were like, is there any more to that?
Dance around? Oh, okay. Like, it's just, all right. I'm going to let you go first. What's your hit from the Golden Egg?
So my hit from the Golden Egg, I told you about getting my first tape, which was the Seal album.
Yep.
Well, since I then had a tape player, my stepdad at the time,
mm-hmm.
Terry, he gave me a stack of tapes. And he was like, here, these are my old tapes. You can have them.
Nice.
One was a completely unlicensed bootleg Bob Marley album called Return to Dunriver Falls or something like that.
Okay.
There were a lot of these bootlegs where his masters got ripped and all this stuff back in the day. The second one was UB40's Labor of Love.
Oh my God.
That had the song Red, Red Wine.
Love Red, Red Wine. Sort of. Also hate it. Like, I have very complicated feelings about that
right,
song.
Everybody does. And then the third album was Led Zeppelin's final studio album from 1978, In Through the Outdoor.
Ooh.
Which is, to this day, one of my favorite albums. I listen to it weekly, if not twice a month.
Okay.
And it has the song Fool in the Rain that Dave started covering last year.
That's such a great song.
But I love that album. And it when my stepdad gave it to me, I thought it was heavy metal.
Right. I always thought that.
I thought Led Zeppelin was like Metallica. I thought it was a heavy metal band. And so when I put it on, like the guitar's rocking, but it's clearly not a metal band. But I just remember feeling so weird.
Oh.
And having very strange imagery. And the cover is really weird. It's like a almost like a shot from like the beginning of Cheers.
Yes, I can see it in my head.
Mm-hmm. And the songs were like nothing I'd ever heard before. And I used to listen to it over and over and over and started to know the lyrics. It's funny, many years ago, probably a decade ago, since we've been together, but way before we were married, we were at Wilmington's favorite dive bar.
Yeah.
And the one of the two owners was bartending that day. And they had played a couple songs from that album the last time I was there. And I said, hey, would you play something for me? And he's like, yeah, play whatever you want. I said, could you play Led Zeppelin's In Through the Outdoor? He was like, you want the whole album? I'm like, yeah. He's like, sure. And he blasted that album as loud as it can be. And everybody in the bar was happy.
Oh, that's great.
It's almost like even people who don't like Led Zeppelin like that album. Mm. Now, some people who love Led Zeppelin don't like that album because they think it was a bit of a departure from the stuff they were doing.
Okay.
But just because we were talking about Christmas and we talked about Led Zeppelin in this chapter.
They mention Led Zeppelin in the chapter 11 or chapter 12.
Life-changing album for me.
So it's the whole album that you're recommending, In Through the Outdoor. I almost chose a Led Zeppelin song. I wonder if you can guess. It's my favorite Led Zeppelin song. I mean, I'm kind of a basic bitch.
I don't like know a lot of Led Zeppelin songs. What's the one that's like Over the Hills and Far Away or something like that?
No, Tangerine is my favorite Led Zeppelin song.
Going to California in my heart. Isn't that the song?
No. It's Tangerine is a future. You were I was your love. You were my queen. It's a wonderful song. I almost chose that song.
I was thinking of Going to California.
That's also a great song.
Going to California with an egg in my heart.
I mean, I really do like love a lot of Led Zeppelin. I'm not like knowledgeable about Led Zeppelin, but like there are very few songs that phenomenal you can bring up that I don't like. So very good submission. Very good. My hit from the Golden Egg, I chose a song, although I almost went with this whole album, but ultimately I decided not to. So I chose the song Seven by Sunny Day Real Estate, which to me, the reason I chose this song is because I feel like this song really encapsulates that feeling of exploding with emotion, probably anger, but I think like it's not really I was going to say it's not really an angry song, but it's a little bit of an angry song, but it's like these super quiet moments and then an explosion and super quiet moments and then an explosion.
Yeah.
And I felt like
that's how a lot of screamo bands are.
Yeah. I felt like it really captured this kind of period inside Remus's head that's in these five chapters. There's a lot of quiet, reflective moments and a lot of really demonstrative anger.
Which is kind of typical for that age, maybe, too.
Yeah. So I highly encourage you. I mean, I hope that every week y'all are looking up these songs and albums.
At least giving it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
But look up the song Seven by Sunny Day Real Estate and just know that this song, I listened to this entire album, but especially this song, over and over and over again when I got my license in my car, just at the loudest volume you could possibly imagine. It's such a great song.
I feel like Sunny Day really landed in that sweet spot between indie and mainstream, where it was like people that like mainstream music and pop music really liked them because they were accessible.
Yeah.
But the indie crew liked them because they were indie as hell and unique also. They rode that line very carefully.
They tick all the boxes for me. They're moody. You know, the lead singer's voice is very, it's very good, but it's very like soft, moody boy, you know, but then it also like has these really intense frenetic moments that kind of allow you this release of energy. But then there's like, when we are done recording and you listen to the song, you'll know exactly which song this is.
Yeah.
And I hope that you'll agree with me that it really captures the mood. Also, the lyrics are honestly pretty, you know, on theme as well.
You know, as I get older, the more I explore, I've always been an explorer of music. I'm not an expert on music by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm definitely not.
But I really like the stuff that I like. And I try to stay open-minded. If something's going to hit me, I might fall, because falling in love with a new band is like what I live for, like my primary purpose on earth. And I recently discovered a band. I'm a huge fan of this band called The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Which would probably be like described as emo-y type pop punk. Mm-hmm. I hated pop punk type of shit growing up because I like real punk. And it was only later in life that I started to appreciate some of these more pop punky bands. And I really fell in love with this band, The Wonder Years. Well, they're playing in July in Raleigh, and I'm hoping to be able to go see them at the end of Leaky or at the end of GalaxyCon.
Ooh, nice.
But they're on tour with another band from Chicago. The Chicago suburbs are an absolute hotbed of pop punk and have been for 3 decades now, probably.
Yeah.
But there's a band called Knuckle Puck that's opening up for them. And I was like, I'm going to check out who Knuckle Puck is. Nice. And so I've been listening to their album from, I think, last year. And it's so pop punky that I feel like you might hear it and go, really?
Yeah.
You actually like that?
Oh, you like
but
all kinds of stuff.
But if you listen to it more, you'd be like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think anything would surprise me. I have been listening to nothing except Tortured Poets Department, by the way, which I think is a fucking masterpiece. I realize that people are pretty split on it, but it is like, speaking of moody, it is like the moody T-Swift I always needed and never knew I needed. And I think it's fucking great.
You like your Tay Moody.
I like my Tay Moody and a little depressed.
With
like
a splash of Tood.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's wonderful. Okay, so that was Hits from the Golden Egg, everybody. It's time for Patronus Moments.
Patronus moments, a moments in your life where mama, dada, I love you.
Yeah, we had a full-blown 2-year-old meltdown this morning during which Paris was yelling, mama, dada, I love you.
Yes, because, you know, as someone who has punched a dog in the face, I was trying to lift my 2-year-old over the baby gate. Instead of just putting her down and opening it and letting her walk through it,
right.
Sometimes I have her in my arms already. I just place her outside of the nursery on the other side of the baby gate. She runs to go find you in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I do some last minute tidying up in the nursery. Well, I realized that her little sleeping bag thing called a sleep sack was hung up on her foot. And then if I put her down,
yeah,
she would trip over it and fall immediately because I know this job. Oh,
yeah.
So I was kind of half trying to shake it off, but half trying
without shaking her,
half trying to get the baby gate to like pull it off of her foot. And I held her too high and bumped her head on the top of the door frame.
And that triggered about a 45-minute long
meltdown.
Oh boy. It was
and part of it was her running around the house screaming, mama and dada, I love you in tears.
Yes.
So it was so unhinged.
I will tell you, this morning is not my Patronus moment.
Mine either.
But I will tell you what my Patronus moment was. So Saturday was a difficult day. Saturday was April 20th, which is the day that my mom passed. It's always a roller coaster. Honestly, the whole week leading up to it is a roller coaster. It comes in like these waves. I can feel like I'm doing great. And then I'm just totally down, knocks me over like a train. So Saturday was definitely one of those days and a difficult day. But we had made plans to go strawberry picking on Saturday. Kind of, yes, it was a Saturday and we had friends trying to make the plans, but also I was like, the 20th, I need to do this. Like, yeah. I need to go do this because I knew I wasn't going to want to. But because I had decided I wanted to do it, I was super jazzed about doing it. And it was so much fun. So fun. It was so much fun.
And it was the same strawberry farm where I used to pick strawberries as a little kid.
Yeah.
The same rows.
So it just was like, Paris had a blast. We met up with some friends. Like,
a really nice lady that worked in the plants department came and sat and talked to us for a long time.
Yeah. It was just like a pretty magical experience all around. And
Paris, it was so hot.
It was so hot. Paris got to see her first, like, I don't know what the term is, windsock guy, you know.
That they're outside of used car dealerships.
With the arms.
Which is one of my favorite things.
You love those.
On the planet.
Yes. And I don't know if this is just an American thing. So to any of our international listeners, if you have no clue what we're talking about, I think all the American listeners will know what we mean. But if you have no clue, hit us up on Discord and we will find like some imagery for you. But they had one of these at the strawberry farm and Paris christened him Silly Guy at Strawberry Farm.
Yes.
And has talked about him since. She talked about him on the way home today.
She's as in love with these guys as I am. Yes. I even have a little miniature desktop version.
You're going to blow her mind when you bust that out. So that was my Patronus moment. What was yours?
So mine is, I could have easily picked one of a thousand moments from the strawberry farm because that was such a wonderful day. But yesterday was pissing rain and it had cooled off a lot. Like when we were at the strawberry farm, it was close to 90 degrees.
It was very hot.
It was like 87 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Tonight it's going to be 41.
Yeah.
That is a significant swing in temperature.
It's not good.
It's not fun.
Mm-mm.
And that's why we both feel kind of like weird and
really
scratchy throated right now.
That's a part of it. Yeah.
But yesterday we had been in the house all day. It was, you know, getting close to 4 o'clock. And I thought, I've got to like walk and exercise. I got to get the hell out of this house. And I've got to get this child out of the house.
Right.
So I decided to take her to the mall, rainy day activity.
Sure.
It really wasn't raining that hard when we left. When we got to the mall, it was freaking raining. And I'm like, so what do I do?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to drive around in the rain with my kid. I can't think of anywhere to go that we're not going to have to get out in the rain.
Right.
So I parked under a tree that had 50% shielding from the water.
Yeah.
And I got out in the rain and set the stroller up, up underneath the tree, and then went and got the kid. I was like, hey, it's pouring raining. Are you okay with that? And she said, yeah. Like she said it like she was an adult. She said, yeah. And so I put her in the stroller. She thought it was hilarious.
Oh, she loves it.
She's laughing and screaming and the wind's blowing in her hair. And I pull the umbrella out. And I'm like, this is just one more thing. I don't have enough hands to do this.
Push a stroller and carry an umbrella.
So I left the umbrella in the car. I put the little sunshade over her so she wouldn't get so wet. And I'm just booking across the parking lot. Now, I could have parked closer to the door, but I wouldn't have the shielding of the rain from the tree. So I have it kind of split the difference.
Right, right.
And so we're hauling ass. Paris is laughing and singing Rain, Rain, Go Away.
Sure.
And I just remember thinking, like, when we were kids, if it was raining, my mom would not say, oh, well, it's raining. We can't go in.
She'd be
like, all right, like, guys, let's do it. Like, you want to do something, you got to go out and, you know, take the day. You have to do it.
Yeah.
So we ran and got up on the sidewalk. And then I finally got her inside and I said, are you really wet? And she said, no. I was freaking soaked.
Yeah.
My shoes were squeaking and stuff. She wasn't really that bad. But it was just that moment of, when we finally got inside, she looked at me and I looked at her and we had that. This is what humans do. If you've ever been in hard rain with somebody,
yeah,
as soon as you get in shelter, you all look at each other and you go,
yeah,
whoa, I'm cold.
Yeah.
And we had that little moment together and I just thought it was fun. I thought, what a great way to turn a rainy day into something kind of fun.
Absolutely. Little sweetheart. She's funny. She's a funny one. Well, it's time to shout out our Marauders.
I've invited famous singers.
Oh.
To shout out the Marauders.
Nice.
And your job is to tell me who it is.
Oh, my God. Okay, I love it. I'm excited. You know,
if you like my terrible impressions. You'll like this.
I really do.
If you hate it, you've already turned it off by now. I'm on the guitar. Teddy Cummings doing the drumming.
Bob Dylan.
Larissa Oatman rides the snake.
Jim Morrison.
May Richard's crying in the rain.
Bob Dylan again?
May Richard's blue eyes crying in the rain. This is a hard one for me to do.
Neil Young?
May Richard's has just turned this off. And she said, I just can't wait to get on the road again. Willie Nelson.
Yes. Sorry. Wow.
If you like Halloween movies, Cody Jurish will be your buddy.
That is Connor Oberst.
There were nights where Nick was so cold that Samantha Tillman wanted to choke him just like he was a little baby.
Celine Dion, weirdly. I don't know where it went. Oh my God.
I've gone fishing. Lindsay Prestige is a magician.
Morrissey.
When I'm hunting, I shoot some stuff and I bagged them now.
I don't know the guy's name, Violent Femmes.
Right.
What's the guy's name?
But I went so Connor there at the end.
You did, but
everything goes back to Connor for me.
Always. Or Winnie the Pooh.
Exit light into night. Take my hand off to Nicky Tillman land.
The guy from Metallica whose name I can't
remember. James Hetfield.
Yes. Nicky Tillman land.
Natalia Ward is feeling tense. That's because she stopped making sense.
That would be David Byrne. Oh my God.
To the extreme, I run the mic like a vandal. Light up the stage and Kelly Moore is a vandal. Dance! As my speakers go boom, I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony.
Vanilla Ice?
Vanilla Ice.
Okay.
I was thinking about that song the other day. I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this.
Oh, no.
And I thought, your boy had some pretty decent bars back in the day. You know what I mean? He had some decent bars.
Okay. Okay.
Deadly, when I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony? That's a pretty good line.
That's not bad. It's okay. Meh.
I kind of have to hold my nose for this to sound stuffy.
Oh, God. But okay.
I went from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach.
That would be Biggie Smalls.
Amber Biggie, 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 can't you see?
Yes. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that you need to say the name before right. I guess.
Yes. When I wonder where my dog's at. Mallory Gallagher, tell me where the dog's at.
DMX.
That one hurts my throat. I used to be able to do it a lot.
Yeah, that one is hard.
Josh Bailey. Josh Bailey.
Mick Jagger. Oh, Michael Jackson. Right. You had to do the for me to get it. Yeah.
Do you believe Heather Bevels is cool?
Share.
And an old favorite on the podcast.
Oh, God.
They call him Peter Collins. He likes to listen to records.
Bjork. My sister is desperately requesting your Bjork impression, by the way. You need to record something for her.
I'm going to read one of her poems as Bjork and send it to her.
That would make her, like, month.
Some things are kind of scary, like being friends with Michael Terry. Billy Armstrong, Green Day.
Oh, yes,
I'm not doing a great job of my impressions.
No, they're great.
I know we're all shocked.
They're really good. You know I can't do impressions. I'm impressed by all of it.
Walking into the club, trying to act glib, hanging out with your girl, Hannah Gibb.
That would be Eminem, right. Even though it was skewing Aziz Ansari there. It's very Tom Haverford.
It's like Chris Farley said, he only has one character. He just turns it up and down.
And I think to myself, what a Stephen McCabe.
Louis Armstrong.
The greatest.
Yes.
Because I'm a freak. Extra shout out. What's Chris R doing here?
Tom York, Radiohead.
Even though they hate that song.
Do they? That's such a great song, though.
What's the song? Paranoid Android? That goes...
I love that
song. One
of
the craziest experiences in my life was me and my buddy Steph back in the day. We decided at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, let's go to the mountains. Let's go to Boone. Oh, we each have $50 to our name. This would be a good idea. So we drove to Boone, where I used to live, all these years later. We stayed in the shittiest hotel on the planet. It was called the Scottish Inn.
Oh.
They had about 10 VHS tapes that you could rent for free because they had the TV VHS combo still.
Nice. Nice.
And we were shotgunning Coors Lights.
Oh, my God.
In a hotel room.
Oh, dear.
We were watching Ghoulies, which we had rented. And we decided, hey, let's walk downtown and go to the bars. We've been shotgunning Coors Lights. So,
oh, my God.
We walk down to the bars and we go in this place. The first place we went into, I felt really horrible and she felt great. The second place we went to, she started to feel horrible, and I was starting to get my second win.
Yeah.
And then we both got our second win back. But there was some band that was playing that night, and as their last song, they did a cover of Paranoid Android, and damn, it just, ambitious. Like, grew in frenzy.
Yeah, that song
this
has
song
a tendency
builds
to do
and builds,
yeah.
And they're doing a great job of it, and the crowd was going apeshit, and then they just destroyed all their equipment. They threw a guitar into the drum kit. One guy completely smashed a guitar and rammed it through the front of his amplifier. Like, they completely destroyed everything and then just let the sounds just like ride out as long as they could until the owner like told them to pull the plug.
That would have stressed me out.
It was insane.
As always, thank you to all of our Marauders, all of our patrons, and all of you listening. That Marauders list, it's lonely. We haven't had a new Marauder in a long time.
Hey there, lonely girl.
I feel like we need to do another, like, next new Marauder gets, but we can't do another manatee drawing because that's only for Teddy.
Yeah, and that's more than a drawing. The manatee actually lives kind of like...
It's an entity, really.
What's it's like Nicholas Flamel and the diary and Tom Riddle's diary. There's a lot of, like, weird...
You're very, like, Flamel-focused.
I am. I'm flocused.
But we'll think of something. We'll think of like a giveaway for our next new Marauder. Well, next week, we will be darkly diving on Dolores Umbridge. And coming up in a couple weeks, by the way, I think this will probably just be a section. Like maybe we'll cover maybe just a couple more chapters of All the Young Dudes and kind of split the episode in half. We are going to interview our niece, who is a first-time reader of Harry Potter and who has just started book 4. We're going to interview her. She's very excited. We're very excited to interview her. And we're just going to talk about a little bit about this series, at least the first 3 books, through the eyes of kind of the intended audience age and see what she thinks
about
it.
And how old is she now?
Alex is, oh my God, 8?
Yeah. She's on the cusp of 9, 8 and a half.
Think so? Oh God, I should know this. I have so many nieces and nephews, you guys. We have a lot of them. We have 9. So I forget how old specifically they all are. But Alex is awesome and she's very excited. And
that's fun.
So that's going to be really fun. But we'll give you more info about that at next week's episode. Any final words for our listeners?
This is inappropriate. Raindrops keep falling on my head. That doesn't mean that the Marauders want me dead. Or does it?